Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is a very special episode, as they say. 115.5. Haven't done a 0.5 since 83.5, and I had to look that up. And this is a second in a series of one called Permeable Lines. We did the first one years ago. It was like, what, 17.5, I think I wrote down?
Very long time ago.
We had fun with that one, some Manila Road and Angel Witch confluences and other things. The idea, and that was Hunter right there. I'm sure if anybody's listening to this, they know who you are.
Hi.
Do you want to remind them?
Hi, I'm Hunter Ginn.
Yeah, he's a really friendly boy, let me tell you, people. I'm Jeff Wagner, in case you didn't know. And I hope you don't, because I will make your life a hell of searching Discogs for the rest of your fucking miserable lives, tracking down good but cheap CDs. So yeah, this is second in a series. Yes, it's a 0.5. We're going to be doing 0.5s a lot more in the future. And these are fun. The first one, like this one, will be just riff similarities or part similarities that we find too uncanny to not mention or just blatant ripoff. So we're going to just dive in real quick in the spirit of this episode and get right to it. First off, we're going to be beating up on a Megadeth album that's already not loved. Would you say that, Hunter? Is that fair to say about The World Needs a Hero?
It's fair to say.
Yeah, the follow-up to Risk was not the grand return anyone really expected. And you're listening to two people who really like System Has Failed. At least I still do. I think you're still...
Oh, do I? No, I think it holds up.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect. I think it's got a couple of duds on it. But sure. No, great album overall.
Dude, The Scorpion, Back in the Day.
Oh, God.
Yeah, come on.
You know the ones.
Blackmail the Universe.
Know the bangers.
I know the bangers. So anyway, but The World Needs a Hero has a couple riffs or parts or even skeletons of entire songs that are, one's I think a coincidence, one's a ripoff. Let's jump in. This is a bit from Merciful Fates, A Dangerous Meeting from the great Don't Break the Oath in 84. And then we're going to follow that with Megadeth's just a small part, same part that we're comparing to the Merciful Fates song in Return to Hangar. Okay, so it's that ascending, da, 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 then the drop. I think that's coincidence. Although we know that Dave Mustaine is highly influenced by Merciful Fate. Your thoughts?
Highly. Yeah, my thoughts are maybe not coincidence. Or maybe just a complete lapse of memory.
Oh, that's a good one. Lapse of memory. That's somewhere in between coincidence and ripoff.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to give Mustaine, who is a riff master in his own right, the benefit of the doubt here.
Sure.
And I mean, you're talking about 17 years. And I know he loves that album, but
you know, he loves Don't Break the Oath.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But golly, man.
And you're saying 17 years between the two.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. You're being cryptic. I just want to spell it out for everybody out there.
you're speaking in cryptic writings.
Ooh, good one. So yeah, that's an interesting one. I've always I think the first time I ever heard that song, I was like, oh, Dangerous Meeting. It's pretty obvious.
It's not a Merciful Fate deep cut either. I mean, it's an incredibly important heavy metal song.
Yeah. It was like the Bathory Creeping Death thing. Like you can't get away from it, you know. On the first installment.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on because this is even more interesting. This is Diamond Head's Am I Evil? Now, I don't have to, everybody knows basic metal 101 history, I hope, listening to this. I mean, if not, it's cool. You can jump in at any point. But here's the brief. Am I Evil by Diamond Head from 1980's Lightning to the Nations is not only like one of the best songs ever written, but it was covered famously by Metallica, who turned it into one of their own songs, or just at least did as good of a version. I mean, it's amazing.
Agreed.
And of course, we know that Megadeth was founded after Dave Mustaine was kicked out of Metallica. And I know they played a shit ton of Diamond Head back early in the day. I mean, that, you know, they recorded Am I Evil without Mustaine officially, but I'm sure that was jammed on by the by Metallica with Mustaine. So with that in mind, let's refresh ourselves on Am I Evil, and then let's listen to the uncanny final track from World Needs a Hero called When, W-H-E-N, more of an Opeth type title, but here we go. Okay, usually I'm laughing when we listen to snippets at the awesomeness of something. You know how we like to laugh at early Cataclysm, just how fucking absurd it is. It's just, you know, we're laughing here a lot because of every single change. We're laughing out of disbelief, I guess. And so I think I would love that song if I didn't know Am I Evil. I mean, how patterned is that after Am I Evil?
I don't know that you and I have ever talked through listening to a snippet so much as we did just now.
Yeah, we talked through the whole thing, just marveling at
just like
the audacity.
How on earth, yeah, did Dave expect to pull this off?
You get the marching thing in the beginning. I didn't write this down, but I think I remember it. The marching thing in the beginning, you don't get the hammer on guitar, but then you get into that riff by itself, right? And then you get into drums, and they come in exactly as the Diamond Head drummer comes in on Am I Evil. And then his phrasing during the verse, and then there's that sort of, I don't know, second verse or pre-chorus type thing. And then the chorus, like all of it, like every single part is patterned after Am I Evil.
Yeah.
You used the word flagrant as we were listening.
It is. And it's almost like Dave is just betting on the fact that people listening to Megadeth in 2001 have never heard Diamond Head.
And this is the thing I find hard to believe, and maybe I should take a closer look at. I still keep the CD around. I don't know why I do. There's something about this album that I don't get rid of it. Like, I don't have Risk. You know what I mean? I don't own that thing. Like, I did for half a second. I bought it for $1 once, thinking, well, I should have it, you know, because it completes the line of that original Megadeth run. But then I was like, yeah, what an idiot. Got rid of it. So this one I keep around, but I don't think there's like anywhere in the booklet where it's like, you know, when is an homage to one of my greatest inspirations, Diamondhead, or whatever. You know, it's nothing like that. So yeah, was he trying to pull the wool over people's eyes and think they forgot Primeval that was so popular and is so popular? I mean, it's in the canon and culture now, you know?
No, it's Sign of the Southern Cross.
This song makes me crazy. I'm going to go nuts. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get to the end of this short episode.
Your head's going to explode.
Yeah. I might just kill myself.
It really is. Certainly don't do that over this album.
I'm having suicidal ideation over When by Megadeth. Okay. I mean, what more needs to be said? It's just flagrant. Flagrant is the word, brother. You got it. Banjo Ginn makes another good call over there.
Shameless.
Here's an interesting one. This is, we're going to hear Testaments Over the Wall. We can't say enough about the amazing legacy. Is this one you've spotted before? Over the Wall?
No, and it blew me away.
Ah, okay. I think the first time I heard Seizures Even's Life Cycles album, when this part came in, and it's a small part in a song that otherwise just sounds
there's well. A lot of contentious shit with that first Seizures Even record.
I knew that would come up. Yeah, because as you like, mentioned that.
There's a lot going on here. The Watchtower stuff. And
I mean, even titling, Repression and Resistance versus Control and Resistance, like a year before Control. But they certainly were copying huge from the Instruments of Random Murder demo. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I know, man.
It's a weird thing.
It is.
Yeah, that could be just a show by itself. I know we've talked about that. I think we should do like a Life Cycle show. It's a really interesting album. Anyhow, this is a bit from Over the Wall by Testament. We can't say enough good things about that album.
Who can?
Yeah, they better not say anything bad. It's the best one. Let's listen.
Obvious parallels there. At least they managed to change the key and add some bass harmonics.
Seems even will add some bass harmonics, right? Yeah,
just like Watchtower.
Interesting. I wonder if that little part, and I'm ignorant of this, so I don't know. It sounds like it could be something ripped from like a classical piece.
Sure.
And Alex Skolnick would not be above that, probably. So, okay.
It sounds classical. It sounds like, you know, Paganini or something.
There you go. That's where I think the root is. Like, if I ever get to talk to Alex Skolnick, that'll be my one and only question for him. And he'll be like, who is this fucking nerd? But that will be my question.
I would ask why he did those COVID era rap videos.
Oh, wow. That's nothing I know anything about. And I'm just going to push that aside. Really?
Oh.
Oh, man. Oh. I don't know about this. I don't want to.
You don't.
Okay.
You don't.
But anyway, that's the deal there. This one is the last time I listened to Suffocation's Effigy of the Forgotten, and this song is Infecting the Crypts, is also on Human Waste, and we're going to play the Human Waste version. But the last time I listened to the Effigy album, I hadn't heard this parallel before. I don't think it's a rip, but it's weird timing because there's a moment there that sounds like Pestilence is Out of the Body. That's a death metal classic song. That's like Exhumed to Consume by Carcass or Chapel of Ghouls by Morbid Angel. Like it's just a classic, right? Sure. And everybody that's into death metal knows it, especially back in 89, 90 and Suffocation were writing this stuff at the time. I wonder if it seeped in. Well, you know what? Let's just listen.
I think this is probably the most innocent of the ones that we've covered tonight.
Why do you say that?
Because it's not exactly the same, but it's, you know, it's got a cadence that is sort of native to death metal of that time.
I think you nailed
style
it.
And,
yeah. I think yeah. that cadence would, yeah, that could have been played by Atrocity, or that could have been played by,
yeah.
I certainly could have heard Atrocity doing that, or just any number of bands from that era playing death metal, you know, it just, sure. Carcass, why not? Yeah. But yeah. It's close enough where I was like,
it's close.
You could see the guys in the rehearsal room in Suffocation going, "Hey, play that Pestilence part again." You know, like, let's put that there. You know what I mean? Like, it could be that sort of innocent homage. Thanks for listening. We have episode 116 coming up next. It's going to be our version of psychedelic music, or asking the question, what is psychedelic music? And you're going to get the Radical Research answer in less than a week. Peace out.
Peace.